I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. 1 Samuel chapter 9, 15 through 17. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be a captain over my people, Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold the man whom I spake to thee of. This time shall reign over my people."
Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to be with one another and worship God in spirit and in truth. This evening, we're going back to the Old Testament. We've been trying to go this month with 1 Samuel. Our first lesson from 1 Samuel, we were looking at Hannah and her praying for a son, Samuel, and her giving that back to the Lord. And certainly the lesson there is certainly God gives us so many things in this life, and I think the question becomes, will we give those things back? This evening we're going to be looking at King Saul. And I have been on these Sunday evenings really focusing on a passage, but this evening I'm going to branch out. We're going to look at Saul the man a little bit and look at some of the dangerous mindsets he carried throughout life. And when he carried these mindsets, I suggest to you that he did not serve God. And certainly we should avoid such mindsets, but I actually think there's a period of time where Saul was doing that which was right. But trying to get into the time frame that we're in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and really just around, we're getting introduced to Saul.
Sorry, I have something on my mind there.
But we're in 1 Samuel, we're looking at King Saul. And we're looking at some of the mindsets that he had really throughout life and really trying to reflect on those and see those, but trying to get down into the history. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, we start to see this developing mindset among the people of Israel. They've had judges for a long time, and they actually approach Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, and they say, "Samuel, your sons aren't really doing the best of work. In fact, we think they're kind of evil people. So we think that we should really throw off the judges completely, and we need a king." And really, that's the process that the people of Israel are going through. They're throwing off the system of judges, and they're introducing in kings. And God is going to select his first king, which is King Saul. I suggest to you that King Saul goes through three different mindsets throughout his life, and we're going to look at all three of these. I think Saul actually goes through a period in his life where he has a dangerous mindset of insecurity. And I think this insecurity holds him back from serving God in the capacity which he can. I think then he goes and transitions into a mindset of humility, where he steps into a humility that he is going to serve God to the best of his ability when he has the opportunity, and the opportunity he receives is to be king over Israel. And then I think he falls into the trap of a prideful mindset. We're going to try to look at all three of these this evening as we reflect on Saul himself. What we had read for us in 1 Samuel there is really Samuel being told that God is going through with his plan to transition to kings because Israel has asked for it. And he says, "I have a man for the job. I have selected a man." And we can't read all the passages, but Saul is described as a handsome man, and not only a handsome man, but very tall. It says that he's head and shoulders taller than a lot of the people in his own country. He's a tall man. He's a handsome man. He's a Benjamite. And he actually, his dad, has lost some donkeys. And when he comes in contact with Samuel, it's after this occasion where he's lost some donkeys and he is looking for them. He is looking for them, and God has told Samuel that Saul is going to come his way. And Saul does. He comes in contact with Samuel, and Samuel starts having conversations with him in chapter 9. And And Saul is not too keen on him being king of Israel. In fact, if you look at chapter 9 and verse 21 in 1 Samuel, it says, "Then Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me like this?" Samuel starts to talk to him and say, "Hey, Saul, I think you're on the agenda. You are going to be the next king of Israel." And when he kind of starts making the connections and connecting up some of the things that Samuel's saying, he's like, "You know what? I don't know if I'm adequate for the task." Now, sometimes people will suggest that Saul is actually being humble. I'm actually going to try to make a different suggestion to you this evening. I think that he's insecure. Samuel, a prophet of God, has come to him and is basically describing to him that God wants him to be king. That God will be with him when he serves as king. And yet we see that little reluctancy. Now what we're going to try to do this evening is separate humility from insecurity, but I think that Saul is a little bit insecure in this time. I think he does not look, as he looks at being coming king, he's very insecure, and I think that a lot of his thoughts are focused inward. We see his self-talk. He says, "I am from a small family, a small people. I'm a small man myself. How could I ever be the king of Israel?" You know what I think separates insecurity from humility? Is the insecure person says, "I can't do it." The humble person says, "I can perhaps do this if God's on my side." I think that's when we transition from insecurity to humility. See, insecurity, you're focused on yourself. You say, "I can't do this, the task is too big. I don't come from a good family, I don't have a good background, I don't necessarily have all this." And some of that we could possibly say is a part of humility, but it's not the whole story. Humility is when we say, "You know what? I can do this, but only with the help of God." And I think Saul's going to get to this point, but I don't think he's there yet. Samuel starts talking to him and tells him the expectations that are being laid forth. In chapter 10, we start to see that he's actually going to get anointed as the next king of Israel. And the expectations start building and building and building. And I want you to see what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 20 through 24. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 20 through 24. It says, "Then Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near. The tribe of Benjamin was chosen. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Machir was chosen. And Saul the son of Kish was chosen, but when they saw him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, 'Has the man come here yet?' And the Lord answered, 'There he is, hidden among the equipment.'" Saul has already met up with Samuel, and Samuel has kind of laid forth God's expectations for King Saul, that he's going to be king, that God is going to be with him. He's had conversations with Saul, really leading him up to this moment. Now the moment has come, the tribes are there, and they're looking for Saul, and where is Saul? He's hidden himself among the equipment. Some people will mistake in sometimes humility as insecurity, and I really think that Saul is insecure in this moment. I think he is focused on himself and saying, "I cannot do this, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, I cannot do this." I think that's his internal dialogue. And let me tell you, that's a dangerous mindset. When we say that we can't do the Lord's work, when we say that we can't step into those positions that God needs us so desperately to step into, sometimes there's periods of insecurity. When we are so focused on ourselves that we focus, it's like negative self-talk. We like talk ourselves down, we beat ourselves down. And what's interesting is I think God leads us away from insecurity. I'm not saying that we think too much of ourselves. Paul's going to make that mistake later on in his life. He's going to start saying, instead of him starting out, he says, "I can't do it." He's going to transition to say, "I can do it with God's help." And then he's going to transition and he's going to get prideful and he says, "I can do it all by myself. I don't need God." The question is what mindset do you have as you serve as a Christian? Are you serving out of insecurity? Are you serving out of humility? Are you serving out of pride? Which mindset do you fall under? I suggest to you, in the beginning of Saul, or exposure to Saul, he is insecure. I believe he's focused on himself and himself alone. He's not trying to factor God into the equation. He's not factoring in God's help. He's not factoring in God's guidance. He's not factoring in God's assistance. And because of that, I think he gets into this negative tailspin where he says, I can't do it. I can't be king. And when he's basically getting anointed and they're bringing him to be the king of Israel, where do we find him? He's hidden himself among the equipment. I tell you, insecurity and negative self-talk is a very dangerous thing. It can take a Christian that has the potential to go on and do great things in the kingdom and tear them down to a point where they will barely serve God at all. God warns us of such mindset. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and following, the Bible talks us about what we should focus our minds on. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's interesting that God does not tell us to focus on the bad things, which it seems to be that many times what we focus on. What's all focusing on when he turns down basically being king of Israel? When he's hiding among the equipment, what do you think Saul's thinking about? He's thinking about every negative thing in the world. He's thinking about all the bad that could happen. And you know what? He's not even thinking that God will be with him. But God will be with him as he serves as king. I believe that many times the mindset of insecurity catches us all from time to time. As I stand before you this evening, I can look at points in my life where I had an insecure mindset. There have been times in my life where I've had a humble mindset. And God forbid, but it has happened. There's been times in my life where I've had a prideful mindset. Saul has a dangerous mindset here of insecurity. You focus so much on yourself, so much on your inadequacy, that you can't factor God into the equation. If Saul would take a moment and say, you know what, God's going to be with me. God is going to be with me every step of the way. He's going to be with me here, he's going to be with me there, and I know I'm not going to be perfect. I know I'm going to fall and make mistakes sometimes, but with God, I'll do my best to fulfill his request. Now in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There in Hebrews, it talks about this idea of laying weights aside, weights of sin. And I think a lot of times Christians will carry baggage that they're not supposed to be carrying. A lot of times Christians will carry the baggage of the world, and sometimes they'll carry baggage of mistakes of the past. And maybe that's what's in Saul's mind. I can't tell you for sure 100% what's in Saul's mind. All I can tell you is the fact. Is number one, he brings up his family, and he says, hey, I'm a Benjamite. I come from the least of the tribes, and I as an individual is the least of the tribes as an individual. And then he also, when it's time for him to be called up and be king, he's hiding among the equipment. Sometimes we have to let the mistakes of the past go so we can move forward. And God offers us such an opportunity. Through life, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tears. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through mistakes. It's part of the Christian life. But those trials are really supposed to help us become stronger. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We are going to be tested as we go throughout this life. With Saul not being tested with this request, what a big request God is saying. Hey, Saul, you are going to become king of Israel. Not only a king, but the first king of Israel. And we see that he really gets lost, I think, in a dangerous mindset of insecurity. I don't think he's factoring God into the equation. Perhaps Saul was thinking of some of the mistakes of his childhood. I don't know. What things kept him in that insecure mindset? Where he said, I can't do this task even if God helps me. Sometimes we have to leave the mistakes of the past behind so we can move forward. You know, God has forgiven you. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, it says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. God has forgiven you of your mistakes. If you have repented and you have come to God, he will forgive us of those things. Certainly we understand the initial forgiveness in relation to baptism. But after that process, if we walk in the light, if he's in the light, we take those things to him as we repent, as we make mistakes,
We can move forward. God doesn't want you carrying the baggage of your mistakes. You know what? If I carry the baggage of my mistakes that I have made preaching the gospel, that I've made teaching individuals, I would not be up here this evening. I'd be crushed underneath that load. You know how many mistakes I've made? Too many to count. You understand that sometimes your mistakes can hold you back from serving the Lord in the way that you should. The mistakes of your past could cycle you into a negative mindset that would lead you away from service. That would lead you, perhaps like King Saul, to hide among the equipment. And you know what? That's where Satan wants to keep you. Satan doesn't want you to build your spiritual potential. He doesn't want you to move forward. He doesn't want you to succeed in serving the Lord to the best of your ability. He wants to pull you back, and he does it many times with a dangerous mindset of insecurity. It's the mindset that goes, I'm worthless, even though God redeemed me. It's the mindset that says, I'm not adequate to the task. And not saying, I might feel inadequate, but with the help of God, I will do my best. I think we see Saul, for whatever reason, in a mindset of insecurity. There's so many Christians that we could look at that their lives could have been a lot different. You know, I think of Saul or Paul, right? Saul, who's persecuting the church, he's doing all these things. Certainly Saul has a record, he has a past. And think if Paul really carried those weights with him. I think he tried, I think he struggled. He calls himself the chief of sinners. I think he struggled with some of these things, trying to leave some of these things behind. I think he tried to carry the life lessons, but he had to leave some of those mistakes behind so he could serve God better. But if our past disqualifies us from serving God, we're all disqualified. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When Paul describes himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, he says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he's counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy. A lot of times the mistakes of our past can hold us back. And we need to make sure that we understand the grace of God, the love of God, and the forgiveness of God, and try to move forward in serving God to the best of our ability. Many of those things in our past we have no control over anymore. We have to press on, as the Bible says. Mistakes in many ways are part of the Christian life. I mean, it's not something that we're a fan of. We're not a fan that we sin and we fall short so many times, but it's a fact. It's just one of those things. He said to King David. King David was a man after God's own heart. He had an affair. And really, you could say that he was really involved in the murder of another individual. What did he do? He repented and he continued to serve the Lord. We think of Peter, who denied our Lord three times. What did he do? He repented and he moved forward. We think of Saul, who persecuted Christians, the separated family. He repented and he moved forward. We have to be very careful, because when I look at Saul at the very beginning, I see that he's carrying a lot of baggage. I think he's got the mindset of, I'm worthless, you know, I'm so bad I can't be used. But really, when we factor God into the equation, we realize we're not worthless, we've been redeemed. We realize that we're not bad and we're not at a point that we can't be used, that God can use us. Now, I'm not saying we all have to utilize in the same way, but certainly sometimes the things that we can do for the Lord, we're held back because of mistakes and the mishaps of the past. You know, Satan wants you to have an insecure mindset, and he wants you to do exactly what Saul was doing. He wants you to hide among the equipment. That's where Satan wants you. Let's continue on. Okay? If you're following the outline, I'm actually going to skip a point. I'm going to come back to pride. Because I want you to think about a scale this evening. I think you can fall into three categories. You can be insecure, which is a mindset that says, I can't do it. Now, secondly, you can fall into the humble mindset, which is, I can do it, but only with God's help. That's the humble mindset. You know what? Saul ends up becoming king. They pull him out from behind the equipment, and they start chanting, hey, here's our king, here's our king. He was tall, he was handsome, he looked the part, and certainly God is going to help him along the way. You know what? Saul, as a king, he started out pretty well. I'd say he started out in humility. I think his mindset
mindset shifted from I can't do it to I can do it if God is on my side. I think that's really a shift in his mindset. And we can't reflect on every incident in Saul's life. But if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 14, if you turn over there, we're going to see some incidences where Saul, as he starts to be king, he walks in humility. He says, I can do it with God's help, but I'm not going to leave God out of the equation. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verses 32 through 34, if I can get over there. Chapter 14, verses 32 through 34, it says, and the people run from the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slaughtered them on the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. And he said, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day. Then Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people, and say to them, bring me here every man ox and every man sheep, and slaughter them here. What is Saul doing? They have attacked these individuals, they've taken the animals, they've killed them quickly, have not given a chance really for the blood to drain, and really they're eating animals with blood. And when Saul hears of it, what does he do? He starts acting. And he says, whoa, let's pump the brakes, let's bring all of the animals here, and let's make sure that they're sacrificed really in a correct way. I think that's really what we're going at. And we see that in verse 35, he's going to make an appropriate sacrifice. The people kind of got ahead of themselves. Let's kill the animals, let's take the spoil, and Saul's like, hey, let's focus on God for a few moments. Let's do those things which are good and right. In 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 3, we see that Saul drives all of the mediums and spiritists out of the land. Now, this is kind of interesting because Saul is going to end up seeking some of these individuals later in his life. But I think when Saul becomes a king, I'm not saying that he's perfect, but I think he starts living in such a way that he says, I'm going to try to look to God in our decisions. We're going to try to make sacrifices to God. We're going to try to get the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. I think he was trying to do the right things. Now, certainly, he's not going to be a perfect individual by any means, but I think he starts walking in humility. I can be the king of Israel if I keep God in my thoughts. You understand that you can serve God and you can serve God quite well if you keep him in your thoughts and mind. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, and in all things God may be glorified. You think about it, God has given us the tools we need to be a good servant of his. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, I think Saul's mindset shifts early as he is king. He says, you know what, I'm going to try to serve God to the best of my ability. I might have some thoughts of insecurity at times, but with God, I can move forward and I can serve him and I can serve the people of Israel as best I can. But we're really talking about dangerous mindsets. I think Saul had a healthy mindset for a period of time as king. He says, I can do it, but only with God. So that's a big difference from saying, I can't do it, to I can do it with God. With God's help, with his assistance, with his guidance, things can be accomplished for the Lord. But we're talking about dangerous mindsets tonight. Insecurity, I believe, is a dangerous mindset. It's a tool of the devil. It'll let you stay hidden among the equipment. But when you step out in humility, you say, I can do it, but only with God's help. But Saul, as he continues on as king, he is going to transition into another dangerous mindset. And I believe that dangerous mindset is that of pride. And the question is when are you most dangerous to the mindset of pride? And I would suggest to you this evening, it's when you're in prosperity. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9, we're probably familiar with the passage. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9, David has now become a major part in Saul's kingdom. He's interacted with Goliath, and he's had the Goliath situation with David, and David has slowly but surely been kind of brought into Saul's kingdom and really a part of his reign. But in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 9, it says there,
Now it happened, as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, the women had come out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with their tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Verse 8. I think we start to see Saul's pride. It says, then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. This is not the only time I think Saul is going to slip in relation to pride. Actually, I think we have a big long list. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, we actually see an occasion where Saul takes it upon himself to act as a priest and offer a sacrifice. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8-14. So Saul starts to get jealous of David. And we can kind of see the element of pride there. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 13, he brings the priest. He says, you know what, we don't need the priest. I'll offer the sacrifice. And he does that. Oh, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he's really given a direct command from God to do certain things. And you know what? It's almost like he totally ignores it and tries to justify it. God tells him to go in to destroy these people and just basically take no prisoners, really take nothing. I mean, there's a specific list. And Saul takes all those things. And you know what he says? The people told me to do it. Saul transitions from the point where he says, you know what, I want to please God, I want to do what God says, I can accomplish things with God, to almost taking the attitude of, I can do this all by myself. I can be a priest, I don't have to listen to what God commands me to do. He starts transitioning, he starts getting irritated by other people's success, not understanding that that success is actually for the betterment of Israel and the kingdom. We start to see Saul fall into pride. Slowly but surely falling into pride. These two dangerous mindsets, insecurity and pride, what I want you to know is both of these are without God. When you're insecure many times, it's because you're not factoring God into the equation. You're saying, I can't do it, so you're not factoring God into the equation. You know, prideful mindset, you know what the problem is you're not focused on God either. You're saying, I can do it all by myself. I don't need you, God. I can do it my way. If I want to be priest, I'll be priest. I don't need the priest, I'll just serve as the priest. I mean, I'm king after all. You know, God, I told you what, you told me what you wanted us to do when we took this town, but you know what, I just thought I'd ignore what you said and I'd take what I want anyway. Both an insecure mindset and a prideful mindset, they both lead out God. Are you leaving God out of your life? Pride is such a dangerous thing. And so foolish, you know how pride comes. In Deuteronomy, before the Israelites go into the promised land, Moses is really warning them there. And on multiple occasions, he says, when you go into the promised land, and you're rich, you have homes, you're fully fed, everything's going great, you know what he tells them? Don't forget God. You know the time that we are most in danger of being prideful? When everything's going good. And I think that's what happens with Saul. If he starts out and he says, I can't do it. And then he starts and he becomes king and says, you know what? I can do this with God as my friend, as my ally, as my guider. I can do this. And then he slips. As things get good, he starts to think, it's all about me. I can do it all by myself. I don't need God in the equation. The question for you this evening is, I think all of us as individual Christians, God wants us to walk humbly. The question is do you sneak off a little bit to the right, or do you sneak a little bit off to the left? You know what? I think we have brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of us tend to creep a little bit to the right. We have a little bit of a pride problem. When we creep away from humility, we creep more towards the pride side. Some of our brethren struggle with that. And some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they struggle with creeping to the other side of inadequacy and don't think that they can do things that really they could. You know, we can learn so much from Saul, and it's probably not the last time we're going to hit Saul, because really 1 Samuel is very Saul-focused, but I really want you to think about these mindsets. What mindset do you fall into? Are you walking humbly with God? Do you understand that you can do things, but only with God? See, if you're insecure, you say, I can't do it. But if you're prideful, you say, I can do it, and I don't need God. I think this is a balance throughout our life. Like I said, as I reflect on myself and I reflect on this lesson, have there been times in my life of insecurity in my Christian walk? I'd say yes. Negative self-talk is a dangerous thing. I think that's maybe why we see Saul hiding among the equipment. He says, I'm inadequate. I can't do this. How could you think I could do this? What am I going to do? I'm going to hide. Well, what if you put God on your side? And I think he starts to make that connection with God. I can do these things. I can be king. But then he slips out of humility into pride. The question is, where are you in your walk with God? You know, when I think of individuals becoming Christians, there are some individuals that struggle with insecurity, do they not? They say, I can't become a Christian because of all the things that I've done in my past. I've just lived a past that is too bad. I've done too many bad things. I've had too many big mistakes. There's no way that I can become a Christian. What's the problem? They're not factoring God into the equation. Is that God will forgive us. But there's some people that want to become New Testament Christians and they fall underneath the pride. Because they say, I want to become a Christian, but I want to do it my way. I don't want to see what God has to say about salvation. I don't want to see what God has to say about remission of sins. I don't want to see what God has to say about being a Christian. I'll do what I think is best. And really, in doing that, they're leaving God out of the equation. If you want to become a New Testament Christian, you have to be humble. You have to have that little bit of inadequacy and understand that you can't become a Christian without God. But if you can't leave God out of the equation, God has to be there. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. That's a humble thing. Because you have to say, you know what? It's not what I see, but it's what God's telling me to do. Will you walk by faith? Will you walk humbly as you serve God? Trying to avoid insecurities of life as best we can. I'm not saying you don't struggle with it. Trying to avoid pride as much as we can, but walking humbly with our Lord. With God, I can certainly give it my best shot. With God, I can accomplish things I never dreamed I could accomplish. God is on your side. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. You're only going to do that if you're humble. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Once again, humility is key. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we think.